Today I'm going to talk to you about intimate partner violence and mental health outcomes for women who are enrolled into our nurse home visitation programs in both urban and rural settings and the effects of baseline intimate partner violence for these women. This data comes from the DOVE, the Domestic Violence Enhanced Home Visitation Program, which is sponsored by the National Institute for Nursing Research and is under the direction of Dr. Phyllis Schwartz. I have no personal or financial disclosures to disclose. The purpose of this talk is to, one, determine the impact of social support on mental health outcomes for pregnant women living in urban and rural settings, and to describe the initial understanding of these effects on the mental health outcomes, to attempt to identify mental health consequences of location on pregnant women who have experienced intimate partner violence, and to see if there are differences in the level of IPV and stress for women in urban and rural samples, and whether it differs depending on their location. So to give a little bit of context, but our previous talks have already kind of talked on this, but violence against women, obviously, as we know, is this huge social and complex problem. It has both social realms, criminal realms, and health outcomes. So for women who experience intimate partner violence or violence during their pregnancies, they become withdrawn. They also have a lot of health problems like PTSD, post-traumatic stress disorder, depression, or a lot more physical disabilities. And just to give a little bit more context, the lifetime prevalence of women, various studies estimate that it's between 33% to 37% of women have experienced violence during their lifetime, and the annual rate varies between 3 to 12% of women. So IPV during pregnancy, as already was discussed, is defined as battering during the childbearing year. This can be either during pregnancy, before, the year before, or a little bit after the pregnancy. And obviously the perpetrator is usually defined as someone who is either a former or a current intimate partner of violence. And IPV during pregnancy also comes with a lot of changes. So some women have reported that their abuse, like a quarter of women report that their abuse started while they were pregnant, whereas almost 75% said that the abuse continued during pregnancy and didn't stop. Additionally, what we did find is that teens are at greater risk. There, some studies by Parker and McFarlane saw that teens were at greater risk for having abuse during pregnancy than women who of older ages. And obviously, it's associated with poor health outcomes for both the mother and the baby. You have late entry into prenatal care and increased rates of low birth weight, poor maternal weight gain, issues with medication adherence, and increased risk of preterm delivery. So for the DOVE study, this is an evaluation of a structured IPV intervention. We enrolled both mothers and their infants in their follow-up for a total of 2 years. It's conducted at two sites in Missouri, which is our predominantly rural site, but we do have a small sample from Missouri that's urban, and through Baltimore City, which is our urban situation. And this is also obviously a randomized clinical case control trial, so women are random once they're enrolled into a study, either into the DOVE intervention or to just receive normal nurse home visitation programs. So in order to be, this is actually a mixed method study, so we took quantitative and qualitative data for the women in our sample. We recruited women who had exposure or who were thought to have exposure from their nurse home visitors who were up to 31 weeks of gestation. We couldn't accept anyone who was after this time point in their pregnancy because we have to deliver interventions between about three interventions before they actually give birth to see some sort of effect. And the intervention is actually a structured IPV pamphlet. So women receive the regular care, which is the nurse home visits but that are given through the health department, and they also receive DOVE, which consists of three prenatal sessions and three postpartum sessions where they're counseled on making decision-making, planning for the future, learning about more resources for their situation, and where to get help for their child. We collect data at baseline, delivery, and postpartum 3, 6, 12, 18, and 24 months. So when you get to the older ages, we're actually taking a lot more data on the child and seeing how they're developing in relationship to their mother and see if there's a connection between their mother and they may actually be witnessing violence too during their early ages, so seeing if there's any relationship on that end. And we also, like I said earlier, do qualitative interviews where we sit down more in depth with the women and talk about their experiences with their exposure to violence. For the study, the measures that we use to screen for intimate partner violence, we use the abuse assessment screening, the women's experiences with battering, the conflicts tactic scale, and the SFAS. And in order to enroll in the study, they have to score high on either the AAS or the WEB. And then once they're enrolled, we do CTS and SFAS. And to assess maternal mental health, we use the Edinburgh Depression Scale to look at depression, the Davidson Trauma Scale to identify post-traumatic stress disorder, and the prenatal psychosocial profile to look at their levels of self-esteem and reports of social support. We also look at parenting. We use the Parenting Stress Index and the Home Stimulation Survey, which looks at how the mother and child interact. We also chart infant growth and development and the women's use of community resources. So our sample was predominantly, the mean age was about 24. In our urban sample, it was predominantly African American. In our rural sample, we had over a third were Caucasian. Most of our women, 40%, had less than a high school degree. 25% had either a high school degree or GED, and the rest had some experience with trade or community college, and less than 1% had graduated college. Comparing the urban and rural samples, we actually see our rural sample had higher levels of education than those in our urban sample. Almost twice the amount had graduated high school in rural Missouri than in Baltimore City. 50% of our women were actually single, and a quarter identified themselves as being partnered but not married, and the rest vacillated between being married and divorced or some other status, which could mean anything from having a partner, having more than one partner. So, and most of our women were unemployed. 71% of our sample was actually unemployed. So we've got a very young sample that's experienced that, one, they're pregnant, they're experiencing intimate partner violence, and they're at a lower socioeconomic status. So they have an abundance of risk factors. So when we looked at IPV exposure at baseline, we compared, obviously, urban to rural samples, and we didn't see any differences between the location. But what we did see is that all of these scores are extremely high. Like, all these scores indicate that they have high levels of intimate partner violence. So regardless of whether or not you're from an urban area or a rural sample, they all were scoring extremely high on the violence scale. But we did see that our rural sample tended to score a bit higher in terms of the amount of IPV exposure they had at baseline. When we compared the mental health scores looking at our depression and PTSD scoring samples, we did not see, again, statistically significant differences between our urban and rural sample, but we did see that all of their scores on the tests were actually clinically significant. So in order to score as being depressed and to receive a referral to your health department, you had to score greater than 13. And so this line indicates, obviously, clinical significance. And our total sample and our urban and rural samples were all clinically depressed. And when you looked at PTSD, again, you saw the same thing. You had to score over 40 in order to be indicating that you had post-traumatic stress disorder, and these women all had that. Interestingly enough, using the Davidson Trauma Scale, the women are asked to think about the most traumatic experience that they've had, and most women actually don't report their intimate partner violence as being their most traumatic experience. So you're seeing that aside from the intimate partner violence, they're still reporting having PTSD symptoms, probably due to either community exposure to violence, displacement from their homes, or other losses in their family. So we looked at the psychosocial indicators at baseline, and so we looked at the women's self-report of perceived stress. So in our sample, their mean scores were about 25 for across urban and rural, and that's actually a high level of stress, and according to this scale. When you look at their support behaviors, this 37 actually means it's a low support behavior, so the women are asked to report on the support they receive from either their current or former partner and someone else they identify as being a supportive system. And even when they're identifying these people, they're still saying that they have low support from them at this time in their pregnancy. But when you look at self-esteem, so the self-esteem scale flips, and they actually are reporting very high levels of self-esteem. So despite being stressed and having low support from family, they have high self-esteem. Our urban sample their self-esteem mean score was about 32 and is actually a little bit higher than our rural sample, although it wasn't statistically significant. But they are, so, you know, despite all these other issues that they're facing, they're still, you know, finding self-worth, because one of the questions is, do you feel like you have a lot to offer to the world, and do you feel like you're a good parent? And just from having done a lot of data collection, many of the women would always say 5, and that's like the highest you can score on that scale. So there seem to be a resilient bunch. So that basically concludes this part of the talk. And just to give a disclaimer, this is our preliminary data. So what we saw were that we had clinically significant results, although they weren't statistically significant at baseline. But what we do see is that PTSD and depression seem to be operating in the same way, regardless of whether or not you're from an urban or rural community. So you see an interaction of poverty, probably, and not necessarily your location and what the differences that we found. So for future directions, we hope to look at the changes in mental health over time at after delivery and at 3 months to the 2 years, and to see if there are any changes in trends. Some data has already come back noting that actually their levels of depression begin to decrease as time goes on, even after giving birth. And there's also this interesting piece on resilience that we're looking more into, because these women have often faced a lot of childhood abuse or exposure to violence during their childhood, but yet they're very resilient. Their levels of depression are high, but they're not debilitating. So we want to look more at like the resilience factor for these women. And again, we have held a lot of sessions with clinicians and at the various health departments to give them more feedback on what we've been finding out, and to give them signs and symptoms they should look for when they're dealing with pregnant women who may have experienced IPV. So that's, you know, that looks like hypervigilance, withdrawing, you know, poor maternal weight gain, not necessarily being on the correct growth curve for their age and weight. And obviously further investigations will look at the differences between the urban and rural sample and their barriers to treatment. So like was said earlier, in our urban sample, you have a lot of distrust and mistrust of the health system. The women often report knowing where to get services, but not really feeling like they can trust them and that they're going to do the best for them. Whereas in our rural sample, we have a lot of reporting of women who say that when they do go call for help or go to a service, they're afraid, because it's a very small community, that someone will know what's going on in their home. Actually, one of the women reported that she called the police about her abuser, and his family turned out to be very much in cahoots with the local law enforcement. So she, you know, he came back to her and said, "You called the police on me." So women are afraid to actually report, and so these are some of the big barriers to treatment and barriers for the women and their child. And obviously we want to compare those women who received the Dove intervention and those who just received the normal nurse home visitations from the health department to see if there are actually any differences or if the Dove intervention is actually helping the women in this situation. So that's all for this, and if you have any more questions or you're interested in the Dove study and what actually goes on behind the scenes, this is our website, and you can contact them through that. Thank you.